There are no safe investments to be made in the United States, and considering the precarious position of the U.S. dollar and the U.S. economy, as a result, we are helping our clients and would encourage anybody listening to this program to move as much of their wealth as possible out of any U.S. dollar-denominated assets while the dollar still has enough value that, you know, you can do this. Because the timing to be able to do this is going to run out. It's not going to be much longer until the rest of the world figures out the problems that the United States are in, and there will be very few buyers for dollars. And the only thing that makes it possible for our clients to get out of their dollars is the fact that there are still people around the world foolish enough to buy them. The biggest buyers, of course, are foreign central banks, particularly Asian central banks like China and Japan. But we, you know, you cannot expect these government entities to continue in this foolishness forever. And I think the days are numbered for them to continue to throw good money after bad, propping up the U.S. dollar. So everybody needs to act as quickly as they can before this foreign central bank buying ends, and also will be ending the opportunity to get rid of your dollars and still recoup the majority of your purchasing power. Anyway, the telephone number to call the program and ask any questions or to introduce a topic for discussion, my telephone number toll-free is 888-678-9597. That's 888-678-9597. Got a lot of interesting topics to discuss today. First of all, we have oil trading at $52 a barrel, a new all-time record high. When I first began this program, we had just moved to $40 a barrel, and I was predicting that we would continue to move higher, and we have. We've hit record high after record high, and while Wall Street and the conventional media are telling everybody that the prices are going to fall, Euro Pacific Capital clients are making a tremendous amount of money owning oil and gas stocks, particularly the Canadian oil and gas trusts. We're continuing to make a lot of money owning oil and gas assets. And I continue to think that this move up in the price of oil is not a temporary blip. It's not something that's due to speculation or terrorists. It's a real move. It's a new bull market in oil, similar to what we experienced in the 1970s. And I still think the market's going higher. Now, I do believe that somewhere between $55 and $60 a barrel is where this market will peak in the short run. I think that we won't see significant price appreciation beyond $60, if we even hit $60, over the next 6 months or so. But longer term, I think that we're going to consolidate these gains. Oil will trade probably between $40 and $60 a barrel, more likely between $45 and $60 a barrel, while the media and Wall Street are waiting for oil prices to go back down to $25 or $30 a barrel. That's never going to happen. And then we're going to see oil move up decisively beyond $60 a barrel, probably well in advance of $100 a barrel. Also, you know, the XAU index has made a significant gain in the last week. Remember last week, and if you didn't hear the program last week, you can listen to it on the internet. It's archived. My web address is www.europac.net. That's www.europac.net. And remember, last week on this program, I pointed out the technical breakout that I saw in the Philadelphia Gold and Silver Index, the XAU. Well, in the last 5 days, that index has moved up another 4%, 4% in 1 week. That is a very significant move. And anybody who might have acted on that recommendation to buy gold stocks should have profited handsomely. I know a lot of Euro Pacific clients currently own gold stocks. We've been recommending gold stocks for a number of years, and I've been recommending them routinely on this program. Also, silver was up 8% since our last conversation. It's risen 55 cents since the show that I did last week. That's a big move. That's 8% in 1 week. So, you know, we're seeing the results of inflation all over the place. We're seeing it in the metals like gold and silver, also in industrial metals like copper, nickel, zinc, uranium prices. Now, you know, uranium prices came out this week at $20.25 a pound. A year ago, they were $6 a pound. Uranium prices have more than tripled this year. know, the government is telling us there's no inflation. Look around. You know, this is incredible. You know, Bill Gross wrote an excellent article on his website. You know, Bill Gross manages PIMCO. He's the largest manager of bonds in the country. And he wrote a piece very critical of the government CPI numbers, which I've been critical of for years. You know, I've been calling the CPI pro forma CPI because the government reports their inflation numbers just like Enron reported its earnings. So initially, the real definition of inflation is an expansion of the money supply. But the government didn't like that definition because it puts the blame for inflation where it belongs on the government. So the government got the public to buy their new definition of inflation, which was a general increase in prices, in the price level. Well, that's what the definition had been for a long time. Well, now we've got a new definition of inflation. Inflation is no longer a rise in prices. Inflation is now the rise in the CPI. And that's very convenient because the government calculates the CPI, and the government can make the CPI anything it wants it to be. So even now, if money supply is growing, the government says there's no inflation. If prices are rising, the government says there's no inflation because the government looks at the CPI, which it creates, and says, look, our numbers show there's no inflation. But Bill Gross called it a fraud. This is the manager of the biggest manager of bonds in the world. PIMCO owns more U.S. Treasury bonds than any entity. And this guy is no dummy. And he's saying that the CPI is a scam. It's a con game. It's a fraud. He's saying it's understating inflation, which is true. And I think Bill Gross is sugarcoating it. I think the CPI is understating inflation far more than his article. I mean, look at it. Oil prices are at $52 a barrel and rising. $52. I mean, they've tripled. I mean, look at all around you. Look at what's happening to the cost of living. Look what's happening to the price of houses. You know, look what's happening to the price of insurance rates and medical care and education. Look what's happening to food prices. You know, I mean, prices are going through the roof, and Wall Street and the government is trying to tell us that there's no inflation. You know, this is insane. And when somebody like Bill Gross points this out, the major media over the last several days has been trashing them. You know, this is typical. You know, when you have icons of Wall Street, you have guys like Warren Buffett, you have guys like John Templeton, when they go out and say the truth and they point out some of this nonsense, everybody on the media attacks them. You know, they call John Templeton, Sir John Templeton, you know, a self-made multi-billionaire who made his money investing. They're calling him senile now because he's saying things that they don't want to hear. But what is John Templeton telling people? He's trying to tell Americans to get out of the U.S. dollar. He's telling Americans that the dollar is going to collapse and that they'd be better off having their money in Australia or New Zealand or Canada or Europe, which is true. But Wall Street doesn't want to hear this, so they just say that John Templeton is senile. You know, I don't think he's senile. He's got a lot of wisdom in his old age, and he knows what he's talking about. And people on Wall Street ought to listen to him instead of criticizing him. But that's what we're doing. You know, we're doing the same things for our clients that people like Warren Buffett through Berkshire Hathaway or John Templeton or Bill Gross, some of the most successful money managers in U.S. history, they're doing the same thing that we're helping individual retail clients do at Euro Pacific Capital, and that's get out of the U.S. dollar before it's too late, before the world realizes what's going on, before they wake up to this con. And that's what it is. It's just a giant con that the government is trying to pull over on its creditors. And I've mentioned this to you on this program in the past, but this is the conundrum that the U.S. government is in right now, and you have to understand this to really grasp what's going to happen. But this economy in the United States is completely addicted to low short-term interest rates, right? We've got Americans with adjustable-rate mortgages, particularly in high-priced markets on the East and West Coast, where 70 to 80% of the people who are buying homes are using adjustable rate financing. You've got corporations who are now more reliant than ever on short-term floating rate debt. Corporations now have more floating rate debt than fixed rate debt. And the biggest offender of all is the U.S. government, which has got the $7.5 trillion national debt funded with treasury bills. The average maturity is 2.5 years. 2.5 years. So this national debt is financed with short-term interest rates. If short-term interest rates were to double or triple, which they should easily do to get to a normal level, what happens to the cost of funding the national debt? It doubles or triples. So instead of the government spending $350 billion a year on interest on the national debt, it spends $700 billion to $1 trillion a year on interest on the national debt. Well, where's it going to get that money? We already have a $500 or $600 billion deficit. How can it handle a $1 trillion deficit? How are all these families who have just paid, you know, $500,000 and $600,000 to buy condos that used to be $200,000 or $300,000, and they've done it with adjustable rate mortgages, and now they're paying, you know, let's say they're paying 2%, $2,000 a month. How are they going to handle a $4,000 a month payment when $2,000 a month already consumes 50% of their pre-tax income? So the box that the government is in is that they cannot admit that there's any inflation, because if they admit there's inflation, they're forced to raise interest rates. They can't raise interest rates because it'll crush the economy into a massive recession, more likely called a depression. The real estate bubble will collapse. Unemployment will skyrocket. The budget deficit will explode out of control. So the government can't raise interest rates. So what are they left? They have to lie. They have to pretend there's no inflation, because then they can excuse their low interest rates. So no matter how much prices go up, no matter how much the money supply grows, no matter what happens to gold or oil or silver or copper or zinc or lead or anything, the government has to keep saying, but look, the CPI says there's no inflation, because they've got to keep interest rates down. Now, the minute the world wakes up to this con, the minute the America's creditors in Asia particularly realize that the Fed is lying to them, that the government is manipulating the data because they can't raise interest rates, that despite the fact that the Federal Reserve says that it's going to be vigilant against inflation, that they can't because they're not prepared to crush the U.S. economy, then people are going to realize that the Fed is bent on a policy of massive inflation, that they're not going to do anything about it, they're going to debase the dollar into oblivion. And once the world's creditors understand this, nobody in the world is going to want dollars. Nobody's going to want to hold them, you know, for more than a nanosecond. They're going to pass them like a hot potato. And people in America have to realize that just because they live in America, we're buying products that are imported. We're not making things anymore. We don't have an industrial base. All these consumer products that we buy every day, we're importing them. And the people selling them to us aren't going to want to sell them if all we can pay for is U.S. dollars that they no longer want. And as I said, when our creditors wake up to this, they are going to dump these dollars, and the value is going to plunge, and then prices in the United States for all sorts of consumer goods are going to go through the roof. And what's important is that my clients understand this, and they act now. You can't wait until the crowd wants out of the dollar, because then nobody can get out. Because as I said earlier, our ability to get out rests on the fact that other people still want in. And, you know, the reality is the private demand is already evaporating all over the world for the dollar. That's why it's foreign governments that are having to buy so many dollars, because they're doing it with taxpayers' money. But this is only going to go on for a limited period of time before these foreign central banks give up. And I think it's going to happen soon, which actually brings me to another topic I really wanted to discuss. And that's the G7 meeting that occurred over this weekend between our last program. And as I said before, there was a lot of speculation that at the G7, which for the first time, mind you, for the first time included a representative from China. And it's about time, because, I mean, China is the main engine of the global economy. They're producing everything. The fact that countries like Italy are part of the G7 and Canada, but China isn't there, I mean, the whole thing was nonsense. But now China's there. I mean, China, or at least they were there as a guest anyway. But there was some speculation that the Chinese government would announce a date to float the renminbi and allow the renminbi to rise. And also there was some thinking that there might be some kind of statement of a concerted effort to bring down the value of the dollar. And I said, this is not going to happen. Because the U.S. knows that the only thing keeping this bubble economy afloat is the artificially high value of the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. government, despite what it might say publicly, is not going to do anything to bring about the premature demise of the dollar, even though the demise of the dollar is inevitable and unavoidable, and that's why we're trying to protect our clients. But the speculation was that the Chinese would eventually float the renminbi, And it's interesting because the Chinese representative basically publicly bashed the United States by telling them, hey, look, we're going to move on our timetable. We're going to float the renminbi when we want to, not when we're pressured to. But then what the Chinese representative said was that America should be careful because they are threatening to, quote, kill the goose that lays your golden eggs. That shows that China understands this relationship, that despite what President Bush might say or Congress might say about how the Chinese currency peg gives some that artificial benefit to China, that some kind of subsidy, and they might pound the table saying it's unfair and they want China to float their currency, China knows that they're laying these golden eggs for us, because what happens is in order for China to support the U.S. dollar, they are the largest buyers of U.S. Treasury bonds in the world. So simultaneously, Chinese government is responsible for low interest rates in the United States and low inflation, or the appearance of low inflation, because they sell us products inexpensively that we don't have to pay for, and then they loan us the money to buy them, keeping interest rates low so real estate prices can keep rising and people can keep borrowing money. And China knows when they stop doing that, the party is over. When they stop laying those golden eggs, we're finished. And so China understands that, and we've understood that for some time. And again, that's why we are encouraging our clients at every opportunity to divest themselves of U.S. currency. And there are very easy ways to invest around the world very conservatively, and we're having excellent results. You know, this last quarter was a quarter in which most people in the United States who invested in typical stocks and bonds lost money. All three of the major stock market averages were down on the quarter. We had the Dow was down, the Nasdaq was down about 7.5%. But Euro Pacific Capital clients in general, and we don't run managed accounts mostly. The accounts are mainly individual accounts, but we help people pick these international stocks. But the typical client at Euro Pacific Capital, probably had a 10 to 20% return during the quarter. And if any of the clients are listening today, hopefully a number of people are, I don't know if you've gotten your statements yet. They probably won't come in the mail for another week, but everybody is going to be very pleasantly surprised by seeing the returns that your Pacific Capital clients had over the quarter. I mean, a number of you are going to see 20% returns. And that's not annualized returns. That's the actual gain during the three-month period. And those returns were achieved predominantly because we owned energy assets, we owned foreign currency denominated assets, and we collected a lot of dividends. So while the typical Wall Street firms are continuing to peddle the same old overvalued U.S. stocks and bonds, which are producing negative returns, and if you adjusted them for what the real inflation rate is, massive negative returns. I mean, the reason that our clients are doing so well, it's not that our investors are performing that well, it's just that the dollar is performing so poorly. So Euro Pacific Capital client statements are actually a reflection of how much value the dollar is really losing. So the government might be telling us there's no inflation, but we can see the inflation in the appreciating dollar value of our clients' accounts. They're going up, substantially because the dollar is losing value. Because we're not buying stocks that are, speculative. We're buying very conservative, dividend-paying assets. And the reason that the prices are rising is because the dollar is falling in value, and so it now takes more and more dollars to buy these assets. But anyway, let me pause for a minute and take a break just for an announcement about Euro Pacific Capital, my company, and we'll pick up the discussion on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning. checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
All right, we're back. Anyway, I want to remind everybody, too, this is a call-in program, and I really would like as many people as possible to call in. I'd like, you know, Euro Pacific Capital clients to call, tell the listeners what their impression is of our firm, how long they might have had an account here, how they're doing, and people who aren't clients who have questions about their investments at other firms, just want to question anything that I've said, if they want a discussion or if they disagree with something. It would certainly be interesting to have a disagreement. Anyway, you can call the show. The telephone number, it's toll-free, it's 888-678-9597. That's 888-678-9597. And if you're listening to the show via the Internet, the telephone number is very prominently displayed on the website. For those of you who are listening via shortwave radio, again, it's 888-678-9597. Anyway, also I thought an interesting topic to discuss today would be the political debates. Since we last spoke, we were able to see the debate with George Bush and John Kerry, and then yesterday there was the vice presidential debates. And people ask me, what I think the impact of the elections might be on our portfolios, what I think the impact might be on the value of the dollar. And I really think it's going to be minimal. I think it really matters very little which one of the two candidates wins, whether Bush is reelected or John Kerry wins. The dollar's days are numbered. There's nothing that either one of them can do to alter this course. The U.S. economy is headed for a severe recession. The standard of living of the average American is going to fall sharply. There's nothing that either of these presidents could do to stop it. There is certainly something that the presidents could do to make the transition smoother, to make it easier for Americans to dig out of this ditch that we're in. But unfortunately, neither of these two presidents is likely to do that. In fact, each one of them is going to make it more difficult. Both of them are going to be standing on our shovels while we're trying to dig us down deeper. I mean, if you look at those two, the debates, either with the presidents or the vice presidents, you've got two candidates promising who's going to do more for us. They're talking about, what government can do for us, how they can give us better education, how they can give us better health care. There's nobody arguing for smaller government, for limited government. No one is telling that government is too big, that regulations and taxes are too high, that the government is spending too much. I mean, you're basically having an election between two Democrats. That's the problem. And unfortunately, when you have a Democrat running against a Democrat's going to win. And, there's a chance that Bush doesn't win this election because he's basically competing for Kerry by promising what the government's going to do. And Kerry's just promising that the government's going to do even more. So I wish that we could have a candidate for president. I'm sure we do in the Libertarian Party, but nobody's going to vote for the Libertarians, or if they do, the media is not going to report the votes. And in any event, they're not going to get enough votes to mean anything. But it'd be nice to have a Republican running for the president who was actually somewhat different than a Democrat and was actually, for limited government. I mean, that could help. I mean, one of the things that's going to help rebuild this country is going to be a dismantling of the welfare state and the bureaucracy and the taxation and the regulation that was imposed on this economy for the last couple of generations that caused us to go from the world's wealthiest creditor nation to the biggest debtor nation, that caused our industrial base to be wiped out. I saw a chart recently in an article, and I forget who wrote the article for the time. Actually, no, wait a minute. It was in Barron's. It was in this week's Barron's. In Alan Abelson's column, who writes an excellent column, by the way, and any of you who don't regularly read Alan Abelson's column in Barron's, you should make it a habit of doing so. It is one of the few mainstream publications that has anything worthwhile to say. But Alan Abelson ran a chart, and it showed that I think in 1970, 50% of the profits from the S&P 500 came from manufacturing, and less than 10% of the profits came from financial services, finance. Today, it's the other way around. About 45% of the profits in the S&P 500 come from finance, and less than 10% come from manufacturing. So what all this regulation and taxation has done has turned the U.S. economy from an industrial powerhouse, a manufacturing giant, into just a bunch of paper shufflers in an artificial economy. And that's, you know, this economy is 50% basically financial services. Even the companies that are manufacturing, right, the manufacturers, like, you know, the automobile companies, most of their profits don't come from manufacturing cars, they come from financing. In fact, all these big auto companies, their finance divisions, are also involved in mortgage lending. I mean, they're making more money doing that than making cars. And in fact, they're probably losing money on the car divisions. And so, you know, the only way we're going to regain our stature in the world is to have the government get out of the way so that free enterprise can work and that private entrepreneurship can go about rebuilding our economy. And what we're going to need is savings again. We're going to need Americans to stop spending and start saving. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, when the dollar collapses, Americans aren't going to be spending anymore because they're not going to have any currency that anybody wants. Americans aren't going to be able to buy all these products anymore because we're not going to be able to afford them. And, you know, the Chinese, instead of shipping all their products to America and in exchange for our pieces of paper, our worthless IOUs, they're going to consume these products themselves. I mean, the Chinese are going to get a lot more use out of all these products than the paper money that we send them. And so what you've got to do, you know, as an American, if you want to preserve your wealth and you understand what I'm talking about, you need to get your assets out of U.S. currency and accumulate the currencies of the creditor nations around the world, the currencies that are going to be receiving all the purchasing power that the dollar loses, so that anybody doing that will be able to preserve their standard of living. That's the key. Anybody who doesn't do it is going to watch their standard of living plunge. And the people who really have to listen to what I'm saying and act on it are any of you who are retired. I mean, people who are retired and are living on or planning on living on the income generated from a portfolio of stocks and bonds or pension assets, if you don't get those assets out of the dollar 2 years from now, 3 years from now, your retirement is a thing of the past because the income stream that you're going to get off those assets is going to be meaningless compared to what the cost of living is going to be. And so people who think they're going to be retired are going to have to regain their workforce and start all over again. And all you're going to have to live on is the sweat of your brow, unless you get your savings out of U.S. currency now while there's still time and accumulate foreign assets, accumulate interest-bearing, dividend-paying, very safe. And again, I'm not talking about speculating internationally. I'm talking about investing conservatively. And looking for income, buying utilities, buying real estate trusts, buying government bonds, corporate bonds, but not in U.S. currency, and getting an income stream that's going to rise, and also owning some natural resource-based investments. You know, don't get mad every time you see the price of oil go up. I mean, I don't. You know, I mean, I just recently, for those of you who don't know, I am going to be moving back east in about 3 weeks. I'm moving out to Connecticut. The office is still going to be out here in California, the main office. The phone numbers won't change. It's 800-727-7922, and people will be able to get a hold of me out here. But I'm going to be opening up an office on the East Coast as well. We're going to go bi-coastal at Euro-Pacific. We'll have offices in Newport Beach and up in Stamford, Connecticut. But I'm renting a house out there. And again, as I said to you, all of the listeners, this housing bubble, anybody that's looking in the market should be renting a house, not buying a house. I mean, I'm paying almost $7,000 a month to rent this house, which might sound like a lot of money. People would say, well, how can you waste $7,000 a month on rent? I mean, why don't you buy it? Well, if I bought it, I'd have to give the guy $2.5 million. That's a waste of money. I mean, $2.5 million invested conservatively in a foreign portfolio at Euro-Pacific Capital would probably throw off monthly dividends of $17,000 to $20,000 a month. That's plenty of income to pay the $7,000 rent and still put $12,000, $15,000 a month in your pocket for spending money instead of blowing $250,000, $2.5 million on a house and having to pay $30,000, $40,000 a year in property taxes and all sorts of other, you know, maintenance and upkeep costs that I'm not going to have because I'm renting. But in any event, the reason I brought this up was, you know, when I was talking to the realtor about the cost of the heating, and she was saying, oh yeah, the heat, it's going to cost a lot more to heat it. And I said to her, well, the higher the better. I let it go up. And she laughed. She says, well, you know, and I said, well, because I have a lot of my own money in oil and natural gas stocks, and the higher the home heating oil price goes, the more money I make. In fact, I tell my clients, this, you know, instead of getting mad about oil prices going up and gas prices go up, don't get mad. Get in on it. Own the companies. Own these oil and gas trusts that are paying 12, 14, 16% dividends, where they can raise their dividend every time the price of oil and gas goes up, right? I mean, I don't mind when I go to the pump and it costs $60 to fill up my wife's SUV. The more it costs, the better, because I'm making more money because I'm an owner of oil and gas assets. So I own and sell a lot more oil and natural gas every month than I consume. And that's something that everybody wants to do. You want to get out of being an oil consumer and be an oil supplier. And the way you become an oil supplier is own oil and natural gas assets. And I can tell you that they're still cheap because Wall Street still doesn't believe these higher prices. Everybody on Wall Street is waiting for oil price to go back to $25, $30 a barrel. And so a lot of these energy assets are priced for $25, $30 oil. And despite the fact that they've moved up sharply in the last several months or several years, they're still good buys because they haven't moved up sharply enough. And, you know, part of the reason that Wall Street is so negative on oil is a lot of it is wishful thinking. They don't want to admit that oil prices are going to rise so sharply because it throws cold water on their bullish scenario of how great things are going to be. So they don't want to believe it. And so they figure if they tell themselves often enough that oil prices are going to go back down, that maybe they could will them down there. But meanwhile, me and Euro Pacific Capital clients are making a ton of money because we're not, you know, of that mindset. We understand what's going on, and we're buying these stocks, and we're collecting these dividends. And anyway, to learn more about these types of stocks and if they're appropriate for you, and most of them trade up in Canada, you can call me. Again, it's 800-727-7922. You can talk to me, Peter Schiff, or any of the brokers who work for me here. We're all, you know, very knowledgeable on these oil and gas trusts, as well as the other investments that you can make to protect yourself from inflation and a falling dollar. You know, it's interesting, too. I was listening to somebody on CNBC today who was being interviewed, and it was somebody was being interviewed from a major Wall Street firm who shall be nameless, and the individual recommended shares of BHP Billiton, which I've owned myself in the past, and we've recommended. It is the largest natural resource company in the world. It's based in Australia, and it has an ADR. Now, the person who was recommending it was very bullish on commodity prices. They were talking about demand from China and said, hey, look, you know, prices are going to keep on rising. You've got to buy the stock. Then in the same interview, the person said, but we also don't think there's going to be any inflation. And the person put up a chart, and it showed, here's a chart which shows the CPI and commodity prices. And you can see here that even though commodity prices are going up sharply, the CPI is not, therefore there's no inflation, and rising commodity prices aren't going to cause inflation. Now, I mean, first of all, rising commodity prices don't cause inflation. They result from inflation. But here's this guy seeing this huge increase in commodity prices, but thinking there's no inflation because the government is telling him there's no inflation, without having the presence of mind to question the government numbers. Because that's what makes sense. I mean, he should say to himself, wait a minute, how can all these commodity prices be going up this much? And it's not translating into higher prices for goods. I mean, maybe if corporations are showing their profits collapsing and nobody is passing on the higher costs, which doesn't make any sense at all, the obvious conclusion is that the government is lying about inflation. But this major Wall Street firm doesn't want to jump to that obvious conclusion. They want to live in this fantasy land where there's no inflation, but now they also want to profit from the inflation by buying raw material and natural resource stocks. So they want to buy these stocks, but they don't want to say there's inflation. So they want to have it both ways. But I guess they were tired, or at least some of them are watching other people making money. Now the question is, when are they going to start recommending gold stocks and saying there's no inflation? You know, that's going to be a trick. It'd be interesting to see how they pull that off. But also, you know, talking about gold and silver, I've mentioned on many occasions that it's not enough to just, you know, invest in stocks. You should also own the physical metal itself. You know, there's probably nothing safer than just having physical gold. And, you know, the best way to buy gold, I've said this before, is through the Perth Mint Certificate Program. And we happen to be a dealer for the Perth Mint Certificate Program. And I don't think it's the best way to buy gold because I'm a dealer. I became a dealer because I found the program and discovered that it was the best way to buy gold. And I wanted to buy gold for my clients through the Perth Mint. And the beauty of it is that it's very simple to do. It just takes a phone call to Euro Pacific Capital. You can buy gold, silver, and platinum, and you buy it at spot. You get the spot price. And the Perth Mint, which is a 100-year-old government-owned mint, will store your gold or silver for you at their mint, free of charge. So you've got no storage fees, and of course you've got no shipping fees, because they're not shipping the gold anywhere unless you want them to ship it in the future. They're going to store it for free, no shipment costs, in a government-owned mint. And the government of Southwestern Australia, which is a AAA credit rating entity, is guaranteeing that your gold is there. It's a government guaranteed account. They don't guarantee the value of the account, you know, because gold could fall in price, but they guarantee you that the gold is there, and that's what you want. You know, you want to make sure that your gold is there when you need it. So it is a very convenient, very low cost, very anonymous way to own gold. And remember, the gold is offshore. Right, that's the best place to have your gold, is out of the country, because if the U.S. government comes in with some exchange controls, and there was another very good interview in Barron's over the weekend where they interviewed Jim Turk, and he was basically saying the same thing I am, and he was bringing up the possibility that the government will input exchange controls where they make it illegal for Americans to invest in foreign assets, which is exactly what I'm recommending that people do now. And Jim Turk was basically saying in his interview that Americans should go and open up a foreign bank account or put money in foreign stocks overseas or buy gold before the government makes it illegal. And what I'm saying is you don't have to go to that extreme. You don't have to go and open a foreign bank account or open up foreign brokerage accounts. You can accomplish the same thing by opening up a domestic account with Euro Pacific Capital, and we can invest in all those foreign assets before the government, you know, shuts the door and makes it illegal. Because that's what governments do. Once Americans discover the truth and a significant number of Americans want out of the dollar, the government's going to have to prevent it. And they're going to try to deal with legislation. And if the government makes it illegal to own gold, or in fact forces Americans to turn in their gold like they did in the 1930s, at least if your gold is over there in the Perth Mint, how are they going to get it? How are they going to force you to turn it in if it's not even in this country? And if things ever got really bad, and you wanted to leave the country because it got really bad, let's hope it doesn't come to that, but you never know. I mean, if we're going to be in a serious economic situation, who knows, you know, what the government might do. They've already trampled on a number of their rights in peacetime during relative prosperity. I can imagine there'll be nothing left of the Constitution when we're in the economic disaster that's awaiting. But if things really get bad and you need to leave the country, it might be difficult to smuggle out your gold and run the risk of getting caught or smuggle out your foreign currency. It would be good to have some gold bullion sitting in a vault, in a government vault in Australia with your name on it, so that wherever you end up, you can get that gold and not have to worry about having it on your person and being thrown in jail. But in any event, I want to take one more break again to pause just for another announcement about Euro Pacific Capital, who we are and how to get a hold of us. And we'll come back after that for the final segment of the show. And again, we haven't had any callers yet this program. I definitely want to have some callers in here, and at least so I know people are listening. Again, the number to call is 888-678-9597. That's 888-678-9597. And it's Peter Schiff, Euro Pacific Capital. And let's take a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro-Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro-Pacific Capital.
All right, we're back. Anyway, it's Peter Schiff again, and let me repeat that number one more time. If any of you are interested in calling in and saying hello or asking a question, telephone number is 888-678-9597. It's 888-678-9597. Well, coming up on Friday is another one of those monthly jobs numbers, which seems to be the most important number that comes out on a monthly basis as far as being watched, being commented on, and the reaction that it potentially could instill in the stock market, the bond market, the foreign currency market. You know, back in the 1970s, the number that everybody was looking for was money supply. Every Thursday, I think it used to come out. It was on a weekly basis, and that was the big number. Everybody wanted to see what the money supply was. And by the 1980s, the new number was actually the trade deficit every month, the monthly trade deficit, which became a huge problem in the late 80s, which actually was one of the incidents that led to the 1987 stock market crash. But the highest the trade deficit ever got in 1987 was $17 billion. I mean, now we're up at $55 billion. So the trade deficit is it's three times as big a problem as it was back then. But the difference is back then everybody worried about the trade deficit, and now no one worried about it. So back in the 1980s, the number that everybody waited for that moved the markets was the trade deficit, because people were waiting to see if it was getting better. And now, starting in the 1990s and going forward, it's the monthly jobs report that everybody waits for, and we're going to get another jobs report on Friday. Anyway, understand we finally have a caller. We've got PJ calling in from Pittsburgh, so go ahead, PJ.
Hello? Because I'm as poor as a church mouse right now, but I expect to be pulling out of this. And I wanted to ask you, this is the first time I saw your program. It's a really fascinating program. It's
your radio? Because,
yeah, you have a...
Excuse you.
Pardon me? I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said, turn down your radio.
Geez, I don't even have it on.
Oh, okay. What's your question?
Anyway, I wanted to ask, let me just say real fast that it was fascinating what you were saying about how the dollar's all propped up and everything. And I wanted to ask, with everything being kind of up in the air and the government and everything right now, is it better to be in the city or out of the city?
That's an interesting question, and I can tell you that when the dollar ultimately does collapse,
yeah,
then things are going to get very expensive in the United States, and a lot of stuff's not going to get here. There's going to be bottlenecks. I mean, we're not going to be able to see. We depend on importing stuff from all over the world, and those imports aren't going to come here. There could be shortages, certainly, of even the basic necessities like food and energy. And when things like that happen, and you've got a lot of Americans in the cities, particularly on the dole, they're getting checks every month, every week from the government.
Oh yeah.
Something goes wrong. Who knows what they're going to do? I mean, certainly the cities can have a difficult time paying their police officers with any money that has any purchasing power. There could be a lot of looting, a lot of riots. There could be a lot of shortages. I think that certainly things have the potential to get pretty bad. And from that point of view, you'd be much better off out in the suburbs, out in the country, where you might not have to deal with that. And certainly if you have property, you can grow food. And I certainly would recommend, and not that I want to sound like an alarmist or anything, and I didn't do any of this, because of, the Y2K or anything, but I certainly think it makes sense that be well supplied with, some dehydrated foods or some canned foods or some water, and maybe even be able to have, if you have a well on your property for fresh water and you have a generator and you've got, you can have a garden. I think we could go through a period of time where a lot of those basic necessities are in very short supply, if not in supply at all. I mean, you can stock up on even things like, shaving cream and razor blades, and, because we could go for some real shortages, and it's good to, rather than having dollars in your wallet, why not have the products on your shelves now while you know you can buy them, instead of, you know, in the future when you might not be able to?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, even about being on, like, the natural gas line and the sewage lines and water lines. That's what I was wondering, you know, whether, you know...
Now, look, we're going to be in for some tough times. I mean, there's no question about it. And all you can do is prepare for it. I can help you prepare for it financially. The rest is up to you, but I can at least help you preserve your wealth. I can, you know, help you get out of U.S. currency, get into the assets that are going to gain purchasing power, because that's what happens. I mean, any purchasing power that Americans lose is going to be gained by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
All the goods that are being produced today are still going to get produced. What's going to change is who gets to consume them. And since the dollar is going to lose all this value, Americans are going to be outbid by other people whose currencies have gained the value that the dollar lost. That's what's going to happen. Anyway, when you get in a position to invest, or maybe you have some money in a retirement account or an IRA, just give us a call. We'll be happy to go over the details of how to get started.
Hey, and I was wondering about something. Your last name, is it Schiff, S-H-I-P?
C-H-I-F-F.
Oh, what is it, Schiff? Oh, Schiff. Okay, because the Erwin Schiff, I think, is last
name. No, Erwin's my dad.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Yeah, he's also got a program, I think, on the station.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it, because I always admired him. You know, he was so brave to, you know, do the things he was doing with tax.
I know, he's a great guy, and he's still fighting, and, you know, hopefully he'll win.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, see, my dad is trying to help people not pay their income tax.
Right.
But the real tax is the inflation tax, as far as I'm concerned. That's a much bigger tax, because the government confiscates your principal, not your income. And there's a way to avoid that tax right now, and that's not own the U.S. currency. It's get your wealth out of U.S. dollars. But anyway,
that's fascinating, I'm telling you.
Somebody else on the line, so I don't want to go too long.
Thank you so much. I'll be contacting you whenever we get squared away a little bit here.
And the number is 800-727-7922.
7922. Okay, thank you so much.
And tell your friends about the program.
Oh, yeah, I will. Thank you.
All right. And we've also now on the line, we've got a call from David out in Illinois. Go ahead, David.
Hi. I was wondering, it's only a matter of time before the terrorist strike with the, you know, big terrorist event, and we'll be under martial law, and I was wondering how much would the, what's the maximum amount that the stock market can go down in a day?
Oh, they do have some limits on the amounts that it can fall, and I forget what those limits are. But, you know, the major risk to the United States is not terrorists. The major risk is, you know, we're being terrorized by our own government more than we're being terrorized by Al-Qaeda. You know, the government is doing a lot more damage to the economy with regulations and taxes. Alan Greenspan is doing far more damage to the economy by debasing the currency than what any of these terrorists could possibly inflict. So the damage to the economy is being self-inflicted. But certainly, if we do have a real terrorist event, which, you know, could have loss of lives, which could be, you know, there's no way to really put a value on that, you know, for the economy. But a real terrorist attack will only make the situation worse. But the situation is terrible, even if we never get attacked, and even if we never get another terrorist attack, there is no avoiding this economic catastrophe that awaits us. You know, you've got to pay the piper. You know, the chickens are going to come home to roost, and it's going to happen soon. So I'm not even worrying about a terrorist attack that might happen, because it's not going to impact my investment philosophy or what I'm doing. Because if a terrorist attack comes, it's going to hurt the economy. It's going to be another straw that might break the camel's back, but the camel's going to cave in regardless. You follow me?
Yeah. So you're positioning yourself so you're less at risk.
Yeah, I don't want to take that risk, and that's what people don't understand. That one of the riskiest assets in the world that anybody can own right now is U.S. currency, and anything denominated in it, which would mean U.S. government bonds, municipal bonds, what every American takes for granted as being safe. That's what's risky, and what most Americans think are risky, you know, having assets in foreign countries, that's what's safe. And that's what people have to understand. If they really want safety, they got to get out of U.S. assets. There's nothing safe here.
I know.
That's what the smart people are doing. That's what Warren Buffett is doing. That's what Bill Gross is doing. That's what John Templeton is doing. That's what Jimmy Rogers are doing. If you look at a lot of these self-made multimillionaires and billionaires who have been very successful, they're getting out of Dodge. They're getting their own money out of the dollar. The average American isn't doing that because he's being brainwashed by Wall Street and the media. It's a complacency. And I'm one of the few people that owns a brokerage firm, and you know, we're licensed to do business in 49 of 50 states. We're, you know, I'm one of the few broker dealers that's actually telling people the truth and helping their clients get out of these assets. And in fact, a lot of people don't see it this way, but I think this is the most patriotic thing that I can do, which is to help U.S. American citizens get their wealth out of the country now, because every American who gets his wealth out of the country now isn't another American who won't be broke, who's going to have wealth to bring back into the country to help rebuild the country. I mean, what good is it if we all go broke? Some of us have to save, have to have money, and the only way any of us are going to have money is getting it out of the dollar now. You know, and people have to understand the difference between when I say you won't have any money, you still have your dollars, but they're not going to do you any good if you need millions of them to buy anything, because their value will depreciate so much. And the problem is, the only way the government is going to save the dollar is to dramatically increase interest rates, not just in these 25 basis points that Greenspan does every once in a while, but they've got to take short-term interest rates considerably above the rate of inflation. They'd have to take them up to 7, 8, 9, 10%, something real. And the minute they do that, the economy is going to collapse, the housing bubble is going to burst, unemployment is going to go through the roof, and the consumer spending is going to fall off a cliff, because American consumers are just spending on borrowed money, and they've got massive amount of debt, and the only reason they can service it is because interest rates are so low. The minute you take a normal interest rate on this abnormal high level of debt, the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. And the government doesn't want to cause that, so they'd rather keep causing inflation and kill the dollar than kill their re-election chances.
Yeah, it's amazing how history repeats. You know, they think, we may be in for rough times, but...
This is very similar to the 1970s, only it's going to be a lot worse. And if you go on my website at www.europac.net, all of my previous radio broadcasts are archived. And on one of them, I do a very good analogy comparing the 1960s to the 1990s and the 1970s to today, because the similarities are very, very staggering. The only difference is going to be the extremes. We had a bigger bubble in the 90s than we did in the 60s, and we're going to have a much bigger inflationary collapse now than we did in the 1970s. And the U.S. government, or the U.S. country, was on a much better financial footing. We were a wealthy creditor nation, an industrial powerhouse in the 1970s. Now we're a massive debtor nation, where our manufacturing infrastructure has been gutted. And we're completely dependent on the productivity of the rest of the world and their charity or their willingness to lend us money when we have no chance of paying it back. That's the whole fraud of the whole thing. We're not trading with the rest of the world. It's a charity situation. They're giving us their products. Because if they're loaning us money to buy their products and we have no chance of paying them back, they're not selling us anything. They're giving us stuff. And when they understand the reality of that transaction, they're not going to want to participate in those transactions anymore, and then we're going to be off the gravy train. Or as the Chinese emissary to the G7 said, you know, the goose that lays the golden eggs is going to stop laying them. And then we're going to have to, you know, grow the eggs ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, do you have an account with us yet?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, you should open one up. I mean, do you have investments with other firms?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I mean, what you should do is you should give us a call. You know, we've got a toll-free number. It's on my website, but it's 800-727-7922. And we could take a look at what you own, and we can make some recommendations. You know, did you have a good quarter last quarter? Did you have good returns?
I haven't looked.
Yeah, well, if you didn't make 10 or 20% during the quarter, then you're in the wrong stuff, right? You need to be in the types of assets that are going to produce good returns and good dividends.
Do you invest in commodities?
Yeah, I mean, we invest. I mentioned we encourage clients to buy gold and silver, you know, physically through the Perth Mint. And you can learn about that program on our website, the Perth Mint Certificate Program. And we invest in a lot of commodity-based assets. Like I talked about, the oil and gas trusts that have been so profitable for our clients for so many years. They pay dividends on a monthly basis, very high dividends. The dividends range from 12 to 16%. And the stocks have appreciated substantially during the years that we've owned them. And we buy mining companies, all sorts of mining companies that also pay dividends. And these commodity prices are going to keep on rising. And so rather than, as I said, rather than getting upset that commodities are rising because you have to buy them, get in on it. Buy some of the assets so you can be a seller, be a supplier of these products, and make money when they go up. But anyway, give us a call at 800-727-7922, and we can help you.
Okay.
In the meantime, you know, keep listening. Tell your friends to listen. We're trying to build an audience here through word of mouth. And so tell your friends that they should tune in to this show every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific. And anybody who wants to can listen to a rebroadcast on demand on my website at www.europac.net.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for the call, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Well, anyway, we've got about 2 minutes left in the show, so I'll get into what I mentioned before the callers are coming in, and that's the jobs report that is coming out on Friday. And again, I'm not expecting anything significant. I wouldn't be surprised if we had another weaker than expected job report. You know, the big problem with the U.S. economy is all the consumer spending doesn't actually translate into more jobs, because what are consumers buying? They're buying imported products, which means the profits generated from those profits from those products are accruing to our foreign suppliers. So that's where the jobs are being created. They're being created in Asia. They're being created in Europe. They're not being created here. We're just buying the products on credit. So, you know, and the money to buy these products isn't coming from increased wages. It's coming from debt. It's coming from people extracting equity out of their overvalued real estate and buying imported products. So in any event, this has been Peter Schiff for the weekly edition of Wall Street Unspun, the midweek market outlook. Please join me here again at this time next week for another episode of Wall Street Unspun. And so please try to tell your friends, and I'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening.